Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
If Jhené Egbuamuke is the Steph Curry of DM sliding, I think I am more like the Swaggy P turned around after the missed jumper. It's Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN. You moving over to ESPNU tonight, taking you guys up till 6:30 when the coverage for NBA Eastern Conference Finals Game 2 between the Heat and the Celtics kicks off here at 6:30 Eastern. And Jhené, DM prowess aside in this situation, we're going to need some more shots to fall for Kemba Walker if they want to find a way to beat every ounce of this Heat culture that is built up in our bodies.
Agreed. The Miami Heat, to me, and also the Denver Nuggets, but the Heat, like, they look like the most competitive team out of the four remaining, just because the way they've won, the way they defend, and it's funny. We talk about Jimmy Butler and how he, you know, amongst qualified shooters, for a large portion, is the worst. But when it comes to a three when you need it the most, he's so competitive that he can knock it down. Or in game one of the finals in the East, get the and one and then have his guy hit with a Bam Adebayo block. That's just who they're up against, the mental willpower to win. And so for the Celtics, they're going to have to keep that same energy, which we'll get to in a few minutes, but also have their shooters perform and shoot better.
Yeah, and I think this is the interesting part, Jhené, is all of that has to happen for the Boston Celtics because of the burden of expectation with where this team is now. Because on the other side, I look at this Heat team, the most dangerous thing that you can encounter is someone with nothing to lose. And I feel like that's who the Miami Heat are right now. Like, they remind me of 300. Once they made Xerxes bleed, that crew had already won. And for the Miami Heat, you cut the God King that was the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo earlier in the playoffs. So you're good now. This is a team full of made men and a franchise led by made men. I don't feel like they've got anything to lose in this situation. That should scare the hell out of Boston folks.
See, they walk in expecting to win. And I think, and this is what we're sort of getting at earlier today when it comes to like the expectations on the top teams. It's just a little bit different in the bubble. You can't feed off of, like, at this point, we'd have the Celtics and the Lakers, and they're like, think about the home arenas naturally. TD Garden, Staples Center, that's what they earned over 82 games. Guess what? That's not there. And so now for the top teams, that's a real adjustment. And that's why I think these other teams that, you know, like the Miami Heat, the Denver Nuggets, those guys are the ones that feel like they're playing free and it's working to their advantage.
And I think there's something to be said in these situations, Jhené, for having a juice guy, because Jimmy Butler is that all the time. You saw him when they were winning in the last series, barking at Spoelstra on the sideline saying, I told you we had some MFers that could ball out here. And you see that kind of energy in an environment that is, and I get it, they got the video boards, families there now, they got all that stuff, but much more sterile than what they're used to. Having a juice guy like that, I think, is worth its weight in gold inside the bubble.
The Celtics have one. You know who it is.
Was it Marcus Smart?
Yes. They do.
I guess it just, he doesn't like, does Marcus Smart instill the same kind of confidence in you as Jimmy Butler does?
So Jimmy Butler offensively, while Marcus Smart has had those spurts, those boosts of, you know, good offensive play, Jimmy Butler is like, I have the ball in my hands. And we've seen him succeed and we've seen him sort of miss shots at times, but still he exudes that confidence and he has the ball when it matters the most. Marcus, not so much. He goes and gets it. So I think that's another reason why, you know, for a team that needs that guy, he'd have to do it in an unconventional way. He'd have to do it by, I don't want to say flopping, but like doing what he does. And that makes it so much harder for the Celtics. But I do think that this is the, when you put them on paper, the more talented team, especially when it comes to offensive upside, it is probably the Celtics. The Heat have a lot of young shooters. I don't want to say old because Goran Dragic is like a seasoned shooter, but these guys, we've sort of certified the Celtics over the course of the season in a way that we have not in the Heat. So I think if these guys just get back to who we know them to be and not the pressure of what they expect themselves to be, their outcome will be very different.
Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU, taking you guys up to this matchup. And Chinay, I think it's interesting to look at it through the lens of what you just said. When you have a key moment, when the Heat had a key moment, the ball went to Jimmy Butler's hands and it went towards the hoop and good things happen. You mentioned Marcus Smart might be that energy guy, but is there any doubt when we need a big shot of the game, the ball ends up in Jason Tatum's hands, and that step back three was a head scratcher to me in that key situation. You've got a guy there that's going to be that situation, and he's not your juice guy. He might – Boston – I put it like this. Boston's got the bona fide star in this one. Jason Tatum is the star. When you look at the difference between these two teams, you have the best player on the court at any given time wearing a Celtics uniform. Jimmy Butler is a force, though, and I think, again, in the environment you described, that counts for something.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what's funny? When we're talking about the West and we have like, okay, who's the best player on the court? We would have expected it to be Kawhi or Paul George. But in spurts, in a lot of spurts, especially later on, you know, after game three, around 4, 5, 6, 7, it was Jokic. And for the last game, it was Murray. And so that's the nature of the playoffs. I think here, the teams that need to win need their big stars to be the best player. Because if not, you're going to make someone else steal that narrative, and that to me is what hurts, especially now.
Going to get to that in about 20 minutes, that game coming up and that coverage starting here on ESPN Radio. You talk about how the Heat are doing this right now, how they've managed to go toe-to-toe with this Celtics team. Their head coach, Eric Spoelstra, had this to say.
Even though they were kicking our ass, we were able to mentally stay with it and just stay the course. We did play some better basketball with more force and detail in the fourth quarter, and you know, at that point, it can become make or miss, or foul or not foul, or whatever. And unfortunately, we were able to make enough plays, down the stretch.
And you talking about where the plays have come from over the course of this series or in the Western Conference series. You mentioned other guys having to step up through that process. This Boston Celtics core is seasoned. Like, the Heat are having the moment that this young Celtics core had a couple of years ago, going 7 games with LeBron James in the Eastern Conference. But I will say this, Kemba Walker being one of the new parts of that crew and struggling the way he has does have a ton of upside, because you would assume that's not going to remain the case for this entire series. And if you get an uptick from a guy with that kind of potential in that uniform, that could be one of the pieces that all of a sudden you can't account for.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because you don't want to hurt yourself by trying too hard. And with him shooting the ball 19 times, thinking that that's what is needed, that's not necessarily what's the case. You shoot 19 times, I mean, unless you're James Harden, you shoot 19 times because that's the best shot available, especially when you're on a team that has other guys that you can help distribute to or may need those shots too. And you mentioned it. Jason Tatum is probably the most talented player on the floor. For them to win, he will need to play as such. Kemba Walker is a seasoned vet. For them to win, he will have to read the game as a point guard as such. Jaylen Brown will need to provide a boost. Their center, Tice, will have to be efficient in the paint. Their bench needs to come in and provide energy and also, you know, just keep carrying on. Like, that is what is expected at the minimum. Otherwise, other factors are going to come in. Miami Heat, and you heard it there, it's about mental toughness. It's a mental game, and that's what they're winning on. Like, it's funny. They have more points, but the way they're scoring these points and winning these games are not from the points. It's from being competitive, digging down on defense. And you have the talent to outdo that, but you're not. And that's the question, and that's the frustration if you're in Boston.
That is the frustration. All those things that you mentioned are ways that Boston can get back in this, can get a win in game two. And I'll say it again, I think the Heat are going to be so tough because in my mind they've already won. And I think for a lot of people that might be the case.
And that's their strength. But I have a question, because you know, a lot of times these teams end up like taking the vibe of their city, Boston, gritty, play hard, young talent, all that type of stuff. I was in Miami for the Super Bowl for like 10 hours. So I didn't get to live Miami. How was that? Like, is it just like keep things spicy? Like,
If you want a description of Heat culture, I would check out Parakeet Cortez's Twitter account anytime that they win. The Cafecito infused Lebatard show crew is Heat culture. It is nonstop, all gas, no breaks, and maybe another substance that I'm not going to mention here.
Oh, goodness.
And now, all right, coming up next. Can you be out of the bubble and still be catching L's? We'll find and show you one player who still is. That's next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Some painful admissions happening around here during the break. I don't want to air you out, Chiney, but do you want to tell the world what you just told us during the break? Because a hard question got asked here in the studio, and I thought it was a me thing, but apparently I am not alone. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
I pretended like I didn't hear anything, just like, oh, Chiney's mic dropped or something. The worst thing to ever say at a cookout, at a function, is I don't know how to play spades. Period.
Which you don't.
Allegedly.
I'm just like, listen.
Wait, am I alone here?
No, you're not alone. I just, like, I always thought this was the whitest thing about me is that I didn't know how to play spades.
You don't count. You don't count. Sorry. All right, Cliff.
Wow.
Cliff, can you play spades?
Take it away, Cliff.
Listen, I don't know how to play spades, and I'm cool with admitting that, too. Like, I don't know why everybody comes at me like, oh, yo, you don't know how to play spades. Like, my guy Billy to my left right here, he's like, how do you know I know how to play spades? I'm like, I don't care. I didn't grow up on spades. We don't need to play spades.
I grew up on Uno.
Bro, how not, bro? You got to grow up. At some point, bro, it's like a black, like,
card,
staple.
Yes.
You got to know
it's
how
a
to
card.
Play
That gets revoked.
Bro, you can't be at the cookout and not knowing how to play spades. You over here throwing books and reneging. Come on, bro.
Yo, if you want to teach me how to play spades, someone hit my DMs quick.
I love how I'm co-signing all of Billy's statements, having no idea how to play the game myself. Like, I'm just out here wildly agreeing with someone after openly admitting I don't know how to play the game.
Oh,
I'm willing to learn how to play.
There's another in the fold. We're just finding out. Our TV producer, Kimothy, does not know how to play spades either. So are we 0 for 3 for the show? Wait, 0 for 2 for our show?
I think so.
0 for 3 now.
Shannon looks horrified that you guys don't know how to play spades, so it looks like Shannon is in the I know how to play spades. So Shannon, Billy, Cliff, and KB are sitting with this one out. And Devin coming in after I thought I was again, the whitest version of this show. I'm willing to learn is just...
That's what Devin said? Wow. So out of four of the chocolate crew, 1 for 4. We're shooting 25%.
We're 25% of the usual. Billy's coming in helping us out today. Billy holding it down for the spades playing crowd in this.
60% is 60% of the black people that work on this crew do not know how to play spades. It's 3 out of 5.
That's rough, and that means it's time to keep that same energy. Jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiney and Golic Jr.
And I have another worse admission, but maybe I'll do that later on because I can't do spades in the next admission because I would really get kicked out.
I was going to say because Cliff is so shook he almost forgot to throw the sounder because he realized he got aired out for not knowing how to play spades. Like, we're falling apart down here taking everyone up to Heat Celtics game 2. Starting coverage on ESPN Radio here at 6:30. But, Chiney, I want to keep that same energy because you asked me a very important question in the last segment. Did you not?
Look, in the last break, I had a great education because, you know, in the last segment, we talked about Heat culture and how, you know, teams take on their city. And I was only in Miami for a little bit. I've watched CSI Miami. I've watched Narcos. I've seen it all, right? But when people say Miami culture, they also say Heat culture. Culture, culture, culture. Not Cardi B's daughter, but they never explain it. And now I know why.
Well, yeah, so I'll read you the direct quote off of Ryan Cortez's Twitter account. This is from the Dan Le Batard show the other day. Our Miami, our Heat culture aficionados down there, the most Miami show you're going to hear on any platform. This was the Le Batard show's quote. We smell like too much cologne and our entire economy is held up by dollars that have blood on it and cocaine. But dance to that Spanish softness, feel it in your sensual places. This is what we're doing to you in Miami, Celtics. So that is the closest I can get to it.
That's super strong.
Everything is wet down there and I feel like there are too many nice yachts for all of that money to be come to, honestly. That is the best way I can describe this. Chiney and Golic Jr. is reminding you, don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at home. I'm sure they're happy about this. Via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. It is Chiney and Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Chiney, I hope you've got some good real news to save us all.
I do. The WNBA playoffs are going on tonight. Let's go, Sparks. And the WNBA awards have come out, and big, major, we got to go big with the sound here. MVP for the WNBA, Asia Wilson. Oh, snaps are going classy. There we go. Asia Wilson, Las Vegas Aces, tremendous talent, awesome personality. Follow her on Twitter. But also led her team in a year where they're missing some key pieces to the number one overall seed in the Wubble. Also, shout out to Connecticut's own Crystal Dangerfield, who won Rookie of the Year. That's amazing.
Big ups to the ladies holding it down.
Wait, but the biggest shout out goes to producer Shannon, who knows everything that's going down in the WNBA and pretty much called it all. So,
Wubble aficionado, Shannon, holding it down for all of us here and knows how to play spades. Get you a man that can do both.
Yeah, the post-show meeting is going to be rough.
Yep, nope, going to be a lot of hard truths in that one, which is good because keeping that same energy. Paul George, I want to read you a direct quote from Paul George from 2 months ago saying it is, this is a direct quote, it's championship or bust this season for the Clippers. Huh. Because I could have sworn yesterday, after the Clippers got bounced, this was Paul George saying, the Clippers wanted the pressure of the title expectations. They also could never find the chemistry. He added internally, quote, that the Clippers never felt this was a, quote, championship or bust season. They feel like they've got more contending ahead. What? How? In what world?
Okay. Okay. So, you know what's funny here? I'm not here for the petty, but I am here for the petty. Phoenix Mercury, Shea Petty, hit a game-winning shot in the WNBA playoffs, and the tweet that the Phoenix Mercury put out, can the real playoff P please stand up, went dumb viral. So funny.
The real playoff P. Hey, she earned it.
She did. I thought that was crazy because the internet loved that. Even though, you know, Paul George, what he did in the bubble, especially for mental health and everything else, was amazing.
Yeah, well,
so we say that.
We laud all the things around there, but all we ask for is consistency, and I don't feel like that is so difficult. Speaking of consistency, congratulations are in order to our new coworker, Vince Carter, joining us here at the Worldwide as an NBA analyst alongside greats like Chinua Achebe. Got to be excited to have Vince in the fold.
Alongside greats like Mike Golic Jr., star out of Notre Dame. No, I'm so excited for Vince to be a part of the family. Can't wait to get him on. Vince, come through.
Very excited. Vince, you are always welcome down here. Shout out to Vince and Richard Jefferson holding it down for the community. My bald brothers in arms around here at the Worldwide Leader looking great while giving great analysis. What will the analysis look like for Heat Celtics Game 2? Can Boston get back into this? Find out next. Coverage takes over on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chinua and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.